me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
A new year. Some more Abandoned Manitoba and Gordon Goldsborough in the studio with us now. Good morning and Happy New Year, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadja. Happy New Year to you too.
First of all, it's a big year for Manitoba this year.
It is a very historic year, Manitoba's 150th birthday.
So I look forward to discovering more of our province this year, starting with today. I wasn't here last weekend. What was the clue?
I pointed out that although we are now in the throes of winter, not an especially harsh one, but winter nevertheless, many of us look forward to some winter relaxation among palm trees. And so I thought we will talk about something that goes back a century, largely forgotten today, called the Pine to Palm Highway.
Don't often associate palm trees with Manitoba, so I am curious about this. What is the Pine to Palm Highway?
It's a roughly 2,400-mile highway that was established about 100 years ago, going from Winnipeg, the pine part, to New Orleans, Louisiana, the palm part. And along the way, it passed through some 264 cities and towns, because at that time, if you wanted to drive from Winnipeg to New Orleans, you would drive through all kinds of places along the way. Today, you almost never see a town, but then the highways were different, and you would pass through little places. Now, if anybody in Winnipeg is walking across Pembina Highway at Stafford Street, they may recall seeing a very large rock on the boulevard between the north and southbound lanes. And attached to this rock is a bronze plaque that commemorates the Pine to Palm Highway, and it mentions that there were two cavalcades. Now, you might ask, what is a cavalcade? It's a procession of automobiles, and they occurred along this Pine to Palm Highway, the first one in 1926, the second one 1957.
So was 1926 when they first made use of the Pine to Palm Highway? It's a tongue twister.
It is. No, in fact, the idea of the highway actually originated 11 years earlier in November of 1915, when a group of men from several American states met in New Orleans. And their idea was to form some kind of association to promote the interstate trade and tourism that would come with better highways. Because at that time, just as in Manitoba, the highways in the U.S. were exceptionally primitive. So they formed something called the Jefferson Highway Association. And this was its objective, was to promote highway construction. And the reason they called it the Jefferson Highway Association was that it was under Thomas Jefferson that the Louisiana Purchase had occurred. And that's what brought Louisiana into the United States. So they thought, well, we became Americans because of Jefferson. We'll call it the Jefferson Highway.
Now, when was the Pine to Palm Highway constructed?
Yeah, well, the part we're talking about is the part, of course, in Manitoba. And, of course, this highway stretched all the way to New Orleans. But the part in Manitoba here, there was an existing road there already from Winnipeg to Emerson. But in 1916, the time that they were setting up this new association, a fellow named A.C. Emmett, who is legendary in the motoring community in Manitoba, he declared that in deplorable condition. He said it was just rotten, and he would have meant it. Like, it would have been barely passable at times, nothing like the highways we think of today. Well, despite the poor road, in 1916 then, the very first year that this new association in the U.S. had been established, a group of them from the United States visited Winnipeg, and they were hoping to enlist Manitobans in the effort to improve the northern part of the route. Well, they got a very favorable reaction from the mayor of Winnipeg, a fellow named Richard Waugh. He was all for it. He thought it was a great idea. The premier of Manitoba, a fellow named Tobias Norris, he was a little bit less excited about it. And I think probably because it would have been his government that was going to have to build it. You know, it's all well and good for Waugh to love it, but he's the Winnipeg mayor. He doesn't have to put much money into building it. Whereas Norris's government, well, keep in mind, 1916, we're in the depths of the First World War. There was all kinds of other commitments for money. So Norris said, well, yes, we do commit to building this road, but it might take 6 years for it to be done.
And how accurate was that prediction?
Well, it wasn't right on. I mean, he was right in the sense that it did take a little bit of time. So, in fact, it occurred in 1924. So it was actually 8 years after he had predicted it would happen. The first hard surface, all-weather national highway was completed in 1924. And in fact, in 1925, the year later, a group of Americans came up on this new highway to sort of commemorate the official opening of this linkage, the linkage between the American part and the Canadian part. But keep in mind, when I call it a highway, I'm not meaning the kind of highway we'd think of today. It wasn't, for example, paved. You know, in fact, in parts of it, it was probably not much more than hard-packed soil. You know, so it wasn't, in fact, until the late 1930s that this highway was paved. And even then, the paving would have been nothing like the paving we have today. So, you know, I think if nothing else from this story, we should get out that, you know, the highways today are far superior to the ones they would have had 100 years ago.
Now, you have mentioned the Pine to Palm Highway and the Jefferson Highway. Is the highway known by any other names?
Yes. Because I'm sure there were proud Canadians that chafed a little at having a major highway in Manitoba named for an American president. So in February of 1921, in other words, almost 100 years ago, 99 years, a portion of the Jefferson Highway in Manitoba was renamed the Lord Selkirk Highway, named for Lord Selkirk. And he's the one who in 1812 brought the first Selkirk settlers, the Scottish immigrants, who, of course, established much of modern-day Manitoba. And even today, if you go to Google Maps or whatever, it is still today called the Lord Selkirk Highway in Manitoba. So Jefferson Highway in the U.S., Lord Selkirk Highway in Manitoba, and together they make the Pine to Palm Highway.
The first cavalcade that you mentioned occurred the year after the opening in 1926?
Right. So it was a trip that was organized by a local newspaper, and it was led by the mayor of Winnipeg, a fellow named Ralph Webb. And it was intentionally designed to occur in the depths of winter. And the idea, of course, was that you could start in winter and in a matter of a few days arrive in, well, sort of subtropical conditions. So sharply at 8 a.m., on Saturday, the 23rd of January, 1926, they left Winnipeg and they pulled into New Orleans 13 days later. Now, if anybody listening has driven that route today, you know that 13 days, well, heck, if you really needed to, you could probably do it in a day, a very long day. But, 13 days means they were obviously not going very fast. And that was probably because they couldn't go very fast. The road was twisting and turning and going through all kinds of towns where they'd have to slow down. So a very different thing. They arrived in New Orleans. They were met by a 40-piece brass band. And, of course, anybody who's been to New Orleans knows it is defined by brass bands, you know, Mardi Gras and all those sorts of things. Some of them stayed for Mardi Gras. Some of them decided they had to come home. They relaxed a little bit in the warmth, and then they drove again all the way back to Winnipeg.
What about the other cavalcade that occurred in 1957? Was it similar? Was it different?
It was similar in a sense that it was also led by the mayor of Winnipeg. This one, this time by Steve Juba, a very flamboyant mayor in Winnipeg's history. But this time it occurred in the spring. But again, it was over a period of 16 days. So again, emphasizing this was not a high-speed highway. And the convoy of cars that went down to New Orleans consisted of about 48 people. And what is noteworthy about this particular one is that along the route, they selected 26 mayors of the towns and cities that they were passing through, and they inducted them into something called the Order of the Buffalo Hunt.
What's that?
Well, it's an honor system. And it was established just before this cavalcade left. They left in April of 1957. The Order of the Buffalo Hunt was established in March of 1957. And the idea was, it was Manitoba's highest civilian honor. It was given to people who had done noteworthy things. And so literally they took along 26 of the induction proofs, I guess you could call them. Basically, they were a piece of polished red marble. And on top of that sat a magnificent bronze bison, of course, the symbol of Manitoba, with a little plaque that would say what the person was receiving it for. And they took along 26 of these and along the way presented them to mayors along the route as sort of a sign of a gesture of international friendship. Now, what is interesting is that we know what they look like because about 18 months ago, one of those bison came home. Thanks to a gentleman named Terry Bike of East Grand Forks, Minnesota, he brought one back and presented it to the provincial government. And the reason he had one is that his father, Dr. Orion Bike, was the very first mayor of Thief River Falls, Minnesota, to receive one. I thought, well, that's really a nice gesture on his part to bring back one of these early bisons. In fact, the very first one presented on this international trip to from Winnipeg to New Orleans.
See, this is the part where I always find it difficult because you've built up this story and the history, and then I have to ask, where does the abandonment part come into this?
Well, inevitably it does. It wouldn't be part of this series otherwise. Well, the original Lord Selkirk Highway in Manitoba, today's Highway 75, was originally known as Highway 14, and it mostly followed today's highway with a few noteworthy deviations. So, for example, just south of St. Norbert, people might know that the Turnbull Drive turns off of the highway. Well, in fact, Turnbull Drive is a portion of the old highway. If you follow Turnbull Drive, you'll follow part of the original highway. It's been sort of straightened, and but it's basically the original highway. And then the last 15 miles of the highway in Manitoba, the portion north of Emerson, east of today's highway, east of Highway 75, following the river more closely, is also a portion of the highway, and it's mostly gone altogether. If you look on a satellite photo, you can kind of see where the highway used to be, but basically it just goes right through the middle of farmers' fields, and you know the route that it takes because, in fact, if you look really closely, or if you go down and actually have a look on the ground, you will see three abandoned bridges. And we know that they're part of the old Pine to Palm Highway because stamped into each one of those bridges, it says 1924. That's the year that Premier Norris made good on his pledge to make that highway drivable. And so there they are, three abandoned bridges out in the middle of farmers' fields that are a reminder of that original international highway.
Can people still drive the Pine to Palm Highway?
Yeah, it is possible to drive most of it. And in fact, the Jefferson Highway Association, the one that was formed over 100 years ago, still exists. They have a website called jeffersonhighway.org. And if you go there, they have, among other things, among some historical documents and so on, they actually have a map showing the entire route with various portions of it in different colors. And if the route is in blue or in green, it's drivable. You can actually still drive that portion of the highway, even though it's not a high-speed route necessarily. Some portions, however, are marked in red, and those means those are not drivable. You might be able to go down part of them, but eventually you're going to have to turn back because they're just not a through road anymore. So, yeah, and I think it would be kind of a fun adventure to drive the old route from Winnipeg to New Orleans as sort of a bit of a holiday.
Gordon, thank you so much for this.
You're welcome, Nadja.
What's the clue for next week?
Well, in the early 1880s, a genteel English manor was established in the wilds of western Manitoba, featuring a tennis court, a golf course, and, believe it or not, the first insect research laboratory in western Canada.
You had me at genteel English manor. Thanks so much, Gordon.
You're welcome.
Puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.